What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back, everybody. If you are listening to this when it first comes out and you celebrate Easter, we hope you had a good Easter or a good weekend or a good week or day or whenever you're listening to this. Happy day.
Happy day.
But today we're going to be talking about something that's a little bit different. But I came across it and I just kind of wanted to dive more into it. So I decided to make an episode on it because then I could justify spending time researching it. So it's a little bit different, but it also reminded me of something else that I learned about in psychology class that I might end up covering in a future episode. So we'll see if you guys like this type of thing, then maybe we'll do more things like this. But
is it today, like true crime adjacent? Like not exactly true crime, but true crime adjacent kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of true crime. True crime adjacent. This one actually like turns into like a proper true crime story.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So today we're talking about the Russian sleep experiment.
Ooh, dun dun dun.
So in the late 1940s, psychological researchers in Russia wanted to test how long a human being could go without sleep. So to kind of set the stage a little bit, World War II had just ended. So the Russian government was, you know, just trying to prepare for any potential future wars by building up their military and making sure that they had the best of the best. And something they wanted to test was that if they could keep soldiers awake for longer so that they would need like less rest and could, you know, do more essentially.
Sounds terrible, but okay.
Yeah, sounds awful. And if you didn't know, sleep deprivation is actually used as like a torture technique. So
And a lot of really like detrimental, scary, like weird things can happen when you're sleep deprived. Like I firsthand have hallucinated from being sleep deprived.
Really?
Like postpartum. Oh my gosh. And also like back in the day when, you know, I would take Adderall to study and stuff. I've definitely experienced like that. And I've heard like horror stories about people like
going
off the deep, like psychosis almost.
Yeah. And that's basically what happens here. So we'll get all into it. But yeah, it is pretty crazy. So the Russian military was basically funding this experiment, this project, and it was going to be done with 5 prisoners of war. They had been deemed enemies of the state and were in Russian custody. And so the government and the military was basically like, this is who we'll use for this experiment.
Okay.
The 5 subjects were going to go into a sealed room that was equipped with microphones and then basically portholes with one-way mirrors so that the experimenters could monitor them. They could hear what was being said inside and then they could see in through those portholes, but the prisoners inside couldn't see out. Yeah.
That is terrifying. And also that reminds me, did you ever watch The Walking Dead?
I have not.
Okay, well, there's a character, Daryl, you probably have heard of him at least, but he's a pretty big character.
I have heard that name.
And they capture him and they basically do that. They like, I don't know if they're like intentionally trying to keep him awake, but they're like blaring music, babies crying, like all this stuff.
Oh, jeez.
And he can't like see out. He can kind of see like light under the crack of the door, but like just all your sensory is just being manipulated. So,
oh, that's so scary.
He starts like losing it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So this experiment was going to just be in like this room. They wouldn't have any other, you know, sensory deprivation, and they were provided like books and other things to do.
Okay.
But they would be kept awake by a gas that was going to be pumped into the room constantly. So this was a gas-based stimulant. And it was still in like experimental stages. Like it had been used before, but
what?
Not for this purpose to okay. like stay awake. So they had to monitor them closely because in high concentrations, this gas was actually like toxic and poisonous.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be like lethal because if you're huffing a stimulant, like that's putting a lot of strain on your heart. And how yeah. do they monitor how much you're inhaling? Because it's like,
yeah, in the room, the smoke
around the room. Crazy.
Yeah. What? So they, to protect against like anything that could happen medically, they were tracking the oxygen intake in the room so okay. that they could ensure that the subjects were like still breathing normally.
Okay. Well, that's good at least.
Yeah. So the date that the experiment started is unknown, but sometime in the late 1940s, in a lab in Russia, the five prisoners of war were sent into this sealed chamber, and the goal was to see if they could go for 30 days without sleep.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a long time.
That's like, no.
Yeah, and you may be wondering, like I was, why these prisoners were like, I mean, not that they had much of a choice, but like why they agreed to this.
Yeah.
Well, they were promised that if they submitted to the experiment, they would be freed. This okay. was a lie. They were never going to be freed.
Right.
But this definitely compelled them and made them like fight less against it. Like I said, they were prisoners of war, so they didn't have much choice anyway. Choice. Yeah. But yeah.
Wow. Or they knew like, well, if they die, they die. They're going to probably be killed anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's experiment on them.
Yeah, that's exactly why they use them. So this experiment began, and for the first 5 days, everything seemed normal, just normal, you know, delirium as they got more tired. But they were still able to function, eat, talk, and move around. The experimenters did notice that as time went on, though, the conversations that the subjects were having became deeper and darker. So they moved from initial, like, higher level conversations and started talking more about more and more traumatic incidents from their past.
So they were together?
Yes, the five of them were together.
Okay, okay, okay. Well, I mean, that doesn't make it – actually, that makes it scarier.
Yeah, because you don't know how other people are going to react.
Yeah, it's like you can start hallucinating, like I said, and like seeing crazy stuff and like think that there's like a demon and it's just your buddy or not your buddy, but
and 5 days in is when that started happening because the subjects first of all began complaining about having to participate in this experiment, saying how this was cruel and unusual punishment. And this is also when they started to demonstrate severe paranoia, which, like you have said multiple times, is something that happens. You have hallucinations, you become paranoid, you almost reach a state of psychosis.
Yeah, truly.
After over 120 hours completely awake, the subjects stopped talking to each other. But they didn't stop talking altogether. They started whispering into the microphones and at the one-way mirrors that the experimenters were monitoring them through. And as they were getting more and more paranoid, they began to think that the experiment was a game that they had to win. And so they began trying to win the trust of the experimenters by like ratting out other subjects for either trying to sleep or like admitting to what they had done or whatever it may be.
Yeah, because wouldn't your body at some point just shut down, even given that you're being drugged? I would think body, your mind just it has to go to sleep. Maybe your body doesn't, but your mind does.
Mind does, yeah. Scary. But this experiment was in full swing and it continued on. On day 9, things took another turn when one participant started screaming. And he was basically running the length of the sealed chamber, yelling at the top of his lungs for 3 hours straight. And this was like loud, intense yelling. And he eventually stopped, but they could still see him attempting to scream and could hear small squeaks coming through. So they realized that he had likely torn his vocal cords.
Oh my God. And why didn't they pull the plug on this experiment? Because like, obviously, do you want your soldiers to be going through that when they're supposed to be defending your country or going on like these secret missions? What?
Yeah, I don't know.
It does seem like cruel and unusual punishment. Like they did it as a joke or a game.
It does.
I hate where this is going.
Yeah. But what was even more interesting to the experimenters was that this wasn't the one that was screaming, but how the other participants reacted. Because essentially they did not react. They didn't try to stop him. They didn't complain about him doing it or start doing it themselves. They just continued on for another day, whispering into the microphones, not really talking or moving around too much. On day 11, another participant started screaming. And it was the same reaction as the first, running around, yelling at the top of his lungs. And once again, his vocal cords were likely torn.
Oh my God.
The experimenters began at this point to believe that the screaming was the effects of the gas being pumped in, not the sleep deprivation, because they weren't all reacting the same. So they figured it was probably them reacting differently to the gas.
Yeah, but they're all different people made up of different chemistry, so they might just...
That's true.
You know, because different people have different reactions to different drugs, you know, like illicit
drugs.
That's
true. Yeah, but at this point, everything kind of turned with all of the participants. So the three that hadn't been the ones screaming ended up tearing apart the books that the experimenters had left in the chamber. And this is disturbing, just FYI. So you may want to skip ahead, but they tore these books apart, smeared the pages of the books with their own feces, and then used that to paste over the glass portholes, the one-way mirrors, so the experimenters couldn't see in anymore.
Oh my God. So they were working in unison? Like, were they plotting, or was it just like they all just started doing it? Oh my God.
I think just one of them started and then the rest of them followed suit.
Oh, that's terrifying. That's like worse than like a paranormal thing happening right now. Like that.
I know.
Just
and it like started turning almost paranormal, like demon like. After the portholes were covered, the screaming stopped. And so did the whispering. Nobody was talking.
Weird. So
and there was very little sound coming from inside the chamber, and the researchers couldn't see or hear anything. So for the next 3 days, they kind of just continued to monitor the oxygen levels, and they were checking hourly to make sure that the microphones were still working, because they were like, how is there no sound?
Yeah, for 3 days? That is so ominous.
But the oxygen consumption in the chamber still indicated that all five people were alive and breathing. And in fact, it was indicative that the five people inside were partaking in strenuous exercise. Like that was the amount of oxygen that was being consumed. So not that they were exercising, but like how much oxygen was being consumed. Yeah, like showed that they, you know, this makes sense because their bodies had been awake for so long. Like they needed a lot of energy to just keep functioning.
Right.
On the morning of day 14, the researchers did something that they initially said they would not do. They wanted to use the intercoms that they had installed. So they originally weren't going to do this, but they wanted to try to get some sort of reaction from the subjects because they couldn't see them and they hadn't heard them.
Right.
So they were afraid that the subjects were either dead or in like an unresponsive vegetative state. So they announced, quote, "We are opening the chamber to test the microphones. Step away from the door and lie flat on the floor or you will be shot. Compliance will earn one of you your immediate freedom."
Okay.
So they hoped that with the promise of freedom for one participant, the prisoners would like all comply.
Hell no. I'm not going nowhere near that motherfucking door. Are you joking? These people are out of their fucking minds.
I know, but they had to
That's
do something.
Illusion. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But before they could enter the chamber, they finally heard something. One participant very calmly replied, "We no longer want to be freed."
Oh. Okay.
So they were like, okay. And at this point, about half of the researchers and the military personnel that were there monitoring the research were wanting to open the chamber and the other half were like, no, let's see the experiment through. Let's like keep the doors closed. So for the rest of day 14, they were trying to get more responses from the participants. They were trying to keep saying things, but the participants just didn't say anything. They just stayed quiet.
That is
so finally, on midnight of day 15, they decided they were going to open the chamber. Before opening, the chamber was flushed of the stimulant gas and filled with fresh air. And that's when the participants started talking again. But instead of voicing their relief, as was expected, they began begging for the gas to be turned back on.
Yeah, because they're like addicts now. They've been huffing this stimulant. And you know, stimulants are very, very addictive. I mean, just freaking coffee. Caffeine is super addictive.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so sad. That makes me so sad for those people.
Yeah. So soldiers were sent in to retrieve the subjects who began screaming louder than they had before. And to the soldiers' surprise, four of the five participants were still alive, but unfortunately, one was dead.
Oh my God. From what? Just the lack of sleep?
In a second.
Okay, okay.
So as the soldiers went inside, they noticed something extremely horrific. And this is very gruesome. So you may want to like skip ahead.
Can I skip ahead?
No, you can't. Sorry, Andrea.
I already know what you're gonna say. Okay.
The man who was dead had chunks of his skin and muscles missing.
I knew.
And they found these chunks stuffed into the drain of the room, blocking it, and there were 4 inches of liquid that had accumulated on the floor. A good portion was water, but some was blood and urine. Although how much blood was lost and that collected on the floor was never fully determined.
Oh my God. So they weren't consuming it. They were just doing weird things with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, all 4 of the surviving test subjects also had large portions of muscle and skin torn away.
Oh my God.
And the way the wounds were inflicted indicated that they had been torn off by hands, not teeth. And closer examination of the position and angles of the wounds indicated that most, if not all, of the wounds on the surviving participants were self-inflicted.
Ew. Again, even in unison, like one person did
all
it.
All of them.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That is so creepy.
And they were so thin and emaciated because food rations left inside the chamber were mostly still there, with only 5 days of rations being gone.
Yeah, so that means that minds.
Yeah, that means that they only ate food during the first 5 days. So at some point, it's believed that they began eating either each other or themselves.
Ew. And they're on a stimulant, which makes you not hungry, so they were set up for failure, extreme failure.
Mm-hmm. Most of the soldiers that were sent to the chamber to retrieve the subjects were high-ranking Russian special operatives, but even they refused to return to the chamber after seeing the initial scene. And the subjects, to everyone's surprise, refused to leave. They continued to scream, saying they wanted to be left alone in the chamber, and they began attacking anyone that tried to get them out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, one soldier that tried to retrieve one of the subjects was attacked so violently, basically bitten in the throat, that he bled out and died.
Oh my God.
Another soldier was attacked in the groin and a chunk bitten out of his leg that severed a major artery. But thankfully, even though he suffered these serious injuries, he survived.
Wow.
It was shocking to the experimenters that not only were the participants putting up a fight against anyone trying to remove them, but they also began to beg them to turn the gas back on. But they were like, no, we need to get them out.
So why didn't they why didn't they pump the room full of something that would sedate them?
That would have probably been smart. Maybe they didn't have anything on hand, but you know, that probably wouldn't have been a bad idea.
Laughing gas or something. I don't know if it was even out then. I guess it was. I don't know. I'm stressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So during the struggle of trying to physically remove the four living subjects, the spleen of one of them was ruptured. And he was like starting to bleed out really quickly. But as he was, the state of his body was nothing like a normal living being anymore. He still had air in his lungs and continued to scream. And he was injected with so much morphine that it's 10 times what the normal dose given to humans would be. And he still continued to fight and scream until eventually he like settled.
Wow.
And sedated.
It makes sense. Between being basically in a state of psychosis, which, I mean, it sounds like they were in full psychosis, drug-induced psychosis, but also being high on stimulants for, what, 15 days, you said? That's...
Yes.
I mean, that's a recipe for that exact thing to happen. I mean...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
After this incident, the experimenters and soldiers were finally able to get heavy metal restraints on the four remaining soldiers or the four remaining prisoners and transport them to a medical facility nearby. And during this entire process, the two participants that still had their vocal cords mostly intact continued screaming and begging for the gas to be turned on, saying they didn't want to fall asleep. One participant who was the most injured was taken straight to a surgical operating room for a procedure to repair his torn skin, ligaments, muscles, and organs that he had managed to harm.
Ew.
But they found something very odd. Because of the gas that had been pumped into his system for the last 2 weeks, he was basically immune to the anesthetic sedative gas to put him under for surgery. So he was restrained, but he continued fighting against the restraints, and he almost managed to rip through a 4-inch-wide leather strap on one of his wrists.
Oh my God.
Eventually, they gave him enough anesthetic for him to go under, but as soon as his eyelids closed, his heart stopped, and he had passed away. And when an autopsy was conducted, they found that his blood had triple the normal level of oxygen, and that was what had killed him. They also found that he had broken 9 bones just in the struggle to be sedated.
Oh my God.
The second most injured subject was the next one taken in for surgery, and he was the one who had started screaming first. And since his vocal cords were destroyed, he wasn't able to beg, you know, for the gas or object to being put under for surgery. He did still fight through it, vigorously shaking his head and trying to avoid the anesthetic gas. And after seeing what had happened with the first survivor to undergo surgery, one nurse reluctantly suggested that he undergo the surgery without any anesthetic, and he agreed, shaking his head yes with a look of relief on his face. And over the next 6 hours, he was completely awake during an intense surgery where his skin, muscles, ligaments, and internal organs were repaired.
And he was just like...
And it's terrifying. Then he didn't react. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And one nurse even said that she saw him smile several times during the surgery.
Because
when the surgery was...
Sorry, I was going to go on a tangent again about like the fact that you're on the stimulant. I mean, stimulants release like what? Endorphin, serotonin, I don't know, other things that I can't think of. But I mean, again, it makes sense. He's got this extreme amount of stimulant running through his system, so he probably couldn't even really feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy. Oh, my God.
So when the surgery was over, this subject began to wheeze loudly as if he was, like, frantically trying to say something. So the surgeon rushed to get him a pen and pad so that he could communicate. And when he did, he wrote down... Keep cutting.
Ew.
Right?
No, he can't ever go back in society. Like, oh my God.
So the final two subjects underwent the same surgery, also without anesthetic, although they both had to be given a paralytic to stop them from moving. But not because they were moving from being in pain, but because they couldn't stop laughing. Once given the paralytic drug, they could basically only follow the nurses with their eyes, and the surgery was complete. And once the surgery was over and they could speak again, both of them were asking to be given more of the gas. After this, the researchers were asking why they had injured themselves inside the chamber. And basically, the only response they got was asking for more gas and them saying, "I must remain awake." After the surgeries, the three remaining participants were restrained and put back in the chamber as the experimenters and military personnel were deciding what to do with them. The researchers at this point were facing the wrath of their military benefactors since the experiment had basically failed and two of the five subjects had died.
Yeah.
But despite this outcome, the commanding officer decided that since they had already gone this far, they may as well see what would happen if they put the gas back on.
Are you fucking kidding me? They're like, well, they don't value these people's lives, so it's not surprising.
No, not at all.
It's not surprising.
And the researchers tried to object, but they were overruled. So they prepared to restart the experiment. This time, the subjects would remain constrained while in the chamber, and they would also be connected to an EEG monitor the entire time to monitor their brain waves.
They can't restrain those people.
Yeah.
That's absurd. Okay, whatever.
When they were first connected to the EEG, the experimenters noticed that their brain activity would be like normal and then randomly flatline inexplicably and then start back up again. So it was as if the subjects were like repeatedly suffering from brain death and then returning normal again.
That's so scary.
At one point, one of the subjects began to focus solely on the paper scrolling out of the EEG monitor showing the brain waves. And as he was focusing on that monitor, one nurse saw his eyelids slip shut, his head fell and hit the pillow, and he was finally asleep. The EEG monitor showed that his brain waves were mimicking the same pattern as someone in a deep state of sleep, but before long, it flatlined and his heart stopped and he had died.
Oh my God.
The two remaining subjects had continued to fight against anyone who tried to do anything to them until they finally learned that they would be put back on the gas. When they saw that third subject die, though, they were like, "We want to be put back on right now." And they started screaming. So the commanding officer gave the order to seal the chamber with both the subjects and three researchers inside to monitor them. So
what?
Terrified, the researchers were like, uh-uh, but the commander was adamant they needed to turn the gas back on and they needed to do it now.
No.
And that's when things took one final turn.
No.
One of the researchers that was to be locked inside grabbed his gun and shot the commander point blank in the head, killing him instantly.
I mean, I honestly, I can't blame him. I really can't. I mean, it's not the...
Yeah.
Route I would necessarily take, but he basically had no choice. He was saying, "I outrank you. You have to fucking do what I say." And he's like, "I'm gonna go in there and die or be addicted to this fucking stimulant."
Yeah, after he saw what they went through.
Damn. Wow.
So he then turned to the subject who couldn't talk and shot him the same way.
Oh my God.
Finally, he pointed his gun at the remaining subject, who was still restrained and begging for the gas to be turned on. Before he could be subdued by anybody else coming into the chamber, he screamed at the subject, "I won't be locked in here with these things, not with you." Then he screamed directly at the subject, "What are you? I must know." And the subject just smiled at him. And then after a beat, with everyone's basically stopping and some later nurses later describing the moment as happening in slow motion.
Yeah.
The subject said, quote, "Have you forgotten so easily? We are you. We are the madness that lurks within you all, begging to be free at every moment in your deepest animal mind. We are what you hide from in your beds every night. We are what you sedate into silence and paralysis when you go to the nocturnal haven where we cannot tread."
I have all over my body goosebumps.
I know.
What?
So terrified of this response, the researcher shot the subject in the heart, and as the EEG that was still connected to him flatlined, the subject weakly recited, "So nearly free," before finally shutting his eyes.
That is so sad. And honestly, like, that researcher was probably doing them a favor, putting them out of their misery. Probably. I mean, there's no way that they can come back from that.
No.
No way.
They were far gone.
Yeah, they were so far gone. Oh, my God.
So the researcher was subdued and his gun was confiscated and he was taken into custody and charged with 3 murders for which he would certainly face death considering that he murdered a commanding military officer.
Yeah.
But before I talk about his trial, I want to ask you, Andrea, what is the date that this episode comes out?
April 1st.
And what's April 1st?
April Fool's Day. Is the whole thing a joke?
This is a creepypasta story. This is not a true story.
You got me. Oh, my gosh. Wow. So, I was about to say, man, that's like, I mean, listen, I would not doubt shit like that happens, though.
No, and this is one of the most popular, famous creepypasta stories because it is so realistic.
Believable, yeah.
And there were a couple details that I didn't include because I was like, this is going to make it so obvious. So in the actual creepypasta, all the subjects like pulled out their organs and the organs were just like laying on the ground. And I was like, that's going to make it so obvious that it's fake. But if you don't know what creepypasta is, it's fantastic. They're like,
I feel like everybody should know.
Yeah, probably. But some people might not. I didn't for the longest time. They're like, there's all kinds of different paranormal, like Slenderman is a creepypasta. Yeah. Like you've probably heard some of them before. They're wild. And this is one of the ones that people believe could be true. And I'm going to talk a little bit about like the background of it and where it came from. Because like you said, this type of thing kind of feels like it could have happened.
Yeah, it all makes sense. I will say the quote at the end got me a little bit, but I did have chills from it because I was like, this is real. But now I'm like, okay, I saw where my little red flag was waving. It was tiny. Yeah. It was a little baby red flag, but it was there.
But it was there, yeah. Yeah, so some people do believe that this was based on a real experiment. And that there is some truth behind this. And I mean, I definitely could see that.
I could see it. I mean, have you heard of like the CIA experiments and like all the conspiracy theories on, I can't think of what it's called off the top of my head. I wasn't so tired I could remember, but.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't think of it either. But yeah, so this is a creepypasta. And according to the creepypasta website, some sources claim that the story's first appearance can be linked back to a user known only as Orange Soda, who posted the story to the Creepypasta website on August 10th, 2010. However, others trace its origin to an August 8th, 2009 post on the RIP747 WordPress blog, pointing out that the story was also posted to the music board of bodybuilding forums by a user named Falcon Punch on August 20th, 2009, both of which would predate Orange Soda's 2010 creepypasta post.
Interesting.
So it's not clear exactly the original origin, but it is said that the WordPress blog by RIP747 claimed that the story had been shared with him by his brother, and quote, whilst this may just be a narrative device intended to distance the author from the piece, it could also be regarded as evidence that the story existed prior to this post.
Yeah.
And as I said, the Russian sleep experiment creepypasta became more popular because of its believability and how, while it's not technically based on anything true, it seems like something like this could have actually happened.
Yeah.
And it has just continued to gain popularity. It gained a lot of notoriety on the subreddit r/whatthefuck. And it also was read aloud on a few YouTube channels, including one called I Read Creepypastas, where the video got 34 million views.
Wow.
And there's like a photo associated with this creepypasta of like this extremely emaciated looking being like staring at the camera. And I'll post that on Instagram because it's like the well-known.
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, it's creepy. And just so everybody knows, I had texted Andrea so casually today being like, hey, have you heard of the Russian sleep experiment? Because if she had heard of it, I didn't want to like do this whole story. And she was like, I think maybe, but like, I don't know a lot about it. And so I said, do not look it up. Don't, because I knew as soon as she looked it up, she'd figure it out.
But it wasn't so out of the normal, because I feel like you've asked me like, have you heard about the story? And I'll be like, no. And you'd be like, don't look it up. And I'm like, okay, I won't, because I like to react naturally. You know, I don't want to know about
what's
going to
happen,
you know, usually. Yeah. So it didn't throw me off, but I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the experiment that I mentioned at the beginning is a real experiment, the Stanford Prison Experiment. Oh, did you look up the photo?
Creepy, yes. I've seen that photo before too.
Yep. Ugh. But yeah, the experiment I mentioned at the beginning was the Stanford Prison Experiment. And that is the real experiment. And it's basically, it was like a 2-week simulation of like a prison where people, you know, become the jailers and the prisoners. And it's a crazy experiment. So I actually think maybe one day I will dive into that and like share the whole background on that, because if you've taken a psychology class, you've probably at least heard of it. But that, as soon as I started reading this creepypasta in depth, I was like, wait, there is a crazy experiment that happened. And that's actually a true thing that happened. So
that's probably where the original story, it was like a bunch of other real things pieced together and then fluffed up to be more entertaining.
Yeah, probably. So I'm sorry for doing that to all of you guys, but I hope you still enjoyed the story, because it is still like a creepy, scary story and pretty terrifying.
I could just like hear our listeners being like the whole time, like, oh my God, what the fuck? And then you get them, they're like, damn it.
I know. And some people might have heard this one before. I was trying to look for a lesser known creepypasta to do. Yeah. But so many of them are like so paranormal, and we just don't cover a lot of like really crazy paranormal stuff. So I was like, they're going to know that this is
this was perfect, honestly. Like, I liked that it was, like I said, like true crime adjacent, and then kind of towards the end got true crimey more so, and then wasn't real at all, but still, like, I think it was a good like build up, and then
okay, good. And you know, we've been covering a lot of like really sad, like heavy, heartbreaking sad cases, so when I saw that this episode this week fell on April Fool's, I was like, I gotta do it. So thank you guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will link the original creepypasta as well in the show notes. It's like a 12-minute read, I think, because I definitely like added more like somewhat context here and there and stuff. So if you want to read the original, I will link that, because there was some stuff that I didn't include because I knew that would make it so obvious that it was not true. Yeah. But happy April Fools, everybody. I hope that you guys got a laugh out of this. And I'd love to hear if you guys have heard this before, or if I fooled you, or if you just didn't believe it the whole time, even if you hadn't heard it. So please let us know. But that's all we have for you guys today. We will have a proper real case episode later this week. But until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.